I just want to set some expectations here, or perhaps lower them. There's two of us because we're not Josh Twist. So by lowering your expectations, we will hopefully meet them in our session today. Possibly.
Maybe.
Should be okay. Did he build Votable?
He tried. He broke it.
He broke it? Okay. Yeah. He's had a pretty stressful week, I think, with the keynote preparation and all of the rest.
Mm.
Yeah.
He had a very big hand in it.
Do you want to just cut the code and we'll see if someone can see up the back?
Sure.
Can you guys up the back there read this? Put your hands up if you can't. You can't? You can.
Oh. Sorry, 1 second.
What are you doing?
Trying to turn on the right thing. There we go.
That's probably why they couldn't
raise your hand in the back if you can't read it. All right, good. I think we're cool.
These lights are bright.
Sorry.
Yes, sir. Are you nervous?
No. You ready?
Okay.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
All right, cool. Let's do this. All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Reisner. Good? All right. Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Reisner. My near twin-looking guy over here is Nick Harris. We're both evangelists for Windows Azure. And today we're going to kind of continue where Josh left off and talk about mobile solutions using Windows Azure. So just a little bit of an agenda for what we're going to talk about. We're kind of going to take what Josh did with mobile services in the last session and extend that to make use of some other areas of Windows Azure. Specifically, we're going to touch on storage, geolocation, and push. As Nick mentioned earlier, we've got a pretty jam-packed demo session for you, so there's going to be relatively few slides and a lot of content as far as the code goes. So again, mobile solutions. We had part one earlier today, which it sounds like most of you went to with Josh Twist. And then we're going to do part two. Again, as far as the Windows Azure stuff goes, we're going to make use of Windows Azure websites, storage, specifically blob storage and queues, and then worker roles as well. So I know most of you were there and I've already seen it, but I'm going to run through really quickly the demo we're going to start with, which was basically the output of Josh's session just from a little bit ago.
Or perhaps a slightly prior version of his.
Yes. I'm not sure exactly where he got to because, you know, we are, you know, finishing up things up at the last minute. So this should be pretty close to where he ended up. Actually. In short order.
Could you just uninstall the app as well before we start?
Oh, sure. All right, so like I said, I don't know exactly where Josh got to, but the idea of the app is essentially you can create events and you can add items for people to vote on at the event, and then they can go in and they can vote on the event, and if you subscribe to notifications, you'll get a toast message when somebody has actually voted on the event. Or I'm sorry, yeah, voted on one of the items for the event.
Internet connection, a little bit dodgy.
Yeah. Hopefully the internet will be working. All right, there we go. All right, so we've got a few different things we can choose. We'll go to the mobile solutions, and you can see you can vote here. It'll show up momentarily with the internet. Anywho, So the idea being that if you actually subscribe to the event, it will then send you a toast notification. Now, all this is using mobile services, which means that it takes advantage of the schemaless data storage, push notifications, and authentications, all really easy to set up through mobile services. So really, really quickly, I'll show you the phone version as well. And then we'll actually move on to the new stuff. Can you switch that over to the DPI?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, so again, basically the same sort of stuff. We can go into one of our things, and we can vote on items. Back to slides.
Still learning the buttons. There we go.
All right, cool. All right, so the first thing we're going to talk about is storing files with Windows Azure Storage. Windows Azure Storage is has a few different options, including table storage, blob storage, and queues. We'll be using blobs and queues today. We'll start with blobs. So what we're going to do in this demo is we're going to extend the application so you can take pictures. And the first part of doing that is that we need to take the picture and actually store it somewhere. So we're going to use blob storage for that. Blob storage consists of essentially containers and blobs. You can create a container, and then you can put blobs inside of it. There's a couple different ways you can connect from an application into blob storage. The technique we're going to use today is called using a shared access signature. And the reason for that is one of security. Essentially, when you set up a storage account, you get a storage account name and then a key. And any application or code that has both those can access your storage account. However, if you were to put the name and the key in your mobile application and someone disassembles or decompiles your application and gets that key, then they could basically do whatever they want with your storage account. So the way around that is use a shared access signature. What we're going to do is create a web API, so a web service, that will return to our application a shared access signature, which is basically a short-term URL that will expire that our application can then write our files to. So this basically introduces an element of security, so our app doesn't need to know the key. Our web service, which we have complete control over, does, and our app will just talk to our web service, and then afterwards, it will upload the file. I'm going to switch me over to the code. All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is go into my solution. I've already got the phone project and the Windows 8 project in here. I'm going to go ahead and add a new project, and we're going to do a web API. We'll just do an empty one for now because we don't need any of the default like home control or anything like that right now. If I can actually get to the OK button on this resolution, there we go.
Just go with web APIs and what we used.
Go ahead. We're good. It's fine. All right, so we've got our web API. First thing we're going to do is we're going to add a few references to the Windows Azure Storage library. This is the helper code that's going to make it really easy for our application to get a SaaS from our cloud storage account. Pardon me. First thing I'm actually going to do is hop over to the portal and spin up a new website so that we can use that today. I'm sure by this point in time you've probably seen the Windows Azure portal. It's really slick, really easy to use, and really friendly. So we'll just call this build today. And we're going to use our existing database. So as you saw when I ran the app, everything should be just about the same as what Josh did in the last session. Included in that is that we're going to actually use the database for our own storage as well, since when you create a mobile service, it creates a SQL database, which we can use from our website as well. All right, well, that's up and running. Let's go back here, and we'll start working on our code. There we go. So the two libraries I'm adding are the Windows Azure Configuration Library and the Windows Azure Storage one. Those are the two that I need to access my storage and to get a connection string. So the next thing I'm going to do is add a new API controller so I can actually have an endpoint for my application to talk to. So we don't actually have any endpoints in the method right now. I'm just going to use snippets to drop my code in, and then we'll actually walk through that code. Okay, so this method is just a get, so whenever a get is sent to our SAS controller, this is what's going to hit it, and it's going to expect a name query string parameter in. Once that comes in, that's what we're going to use as our blob name. For the container name, we're just going to default that to new container. Right here, we have code that will go to our application or our web config file and try to pull out a data connection string. That connection string, which we'll add in just a second, is what it uses to get access to our specific storage account. We then create an instance of a blob client. We get a container with the container name we specified before. We check to see if it exists. If it doesn't, we're going to create that container. Then we create a shared access blob policy, which we use to set the permissions to say we want to be able to write to it. And we set the expiration time. It's important that you set the expiration time, because if you don't, then the URL could basically be written to at any point in time. Here we're saying that we only want that URL to be usable for 10 minutes. After that, we actually get the SAS, and then we're going to return that to the calling application. So let's go back over to the portal for a second, and we're going to go into our storage account. We'll go in here, and we'll go to Manage Keys. So this right here is that secret information you don't want to share, because if anybody gets access to that, they could do whatever they want. They can add blobs, they can remove them, they can do anything they want with your stuff. So we'll go into the web config, we'll add a new app setting.
Pull that off. Yeah, you can pull that off.
Okay. Okay, so now if we actually run our application, we should be able to do this locally and actually get a SAS back. So let's go ahead and run that. Sorry? Oh. Ah, thank you. Appreciate that.
There we go.
Perfect.
I was meant to be code reviewing now. Pretty tired.
Oh, sorry about that. I actually left the Windows Phone project running. Let's try that again. Now, since we created an empty project, if we actually run this and it goes to the default web page, it's going to return 404 because there's nothing actually there. Oh, no.
Yeah, pull the semicolon off the end of the...
Thank you, Nick.
It's okay. Damn, I was watching. There we go.
We'll get this eventually. All right, perfect. Okay, so what we have here is a shared access signature. The first part of it right here is the URL to our blob storage account, or blob storage instance. After that, we've got the actual container name, which again, we defaulted and just said if it doesn't exist, create it. The file name I specified. Then everything after that is basically part of the signature, part of the necessary query string parameters to actually access blob storage. So first of all, we have the service version, the expiration, which again, we want to specify so that no one could just use this forever. The fact that we're going to use a container is right here. We have write permissions, and then the actual signature, which is really what is going to be checked against at blob storage when we go to write to it. So let's go ahead and get this pushed up to the server. So we're going to push this up really easily using a publishing profile, which we're going to pull out of the portal. Go back into our application. import the publishing profile. Okay, and so now our Visual Studio has all the information it needs to actually push our website out to Windows Azure websites. So that's going to happen, and then I think Nick's going to jump over and start working on the Windows 8 side of it.
Okie dokie. So let's make sure this goes. I guess it'll pop up if we have an issue there. So we've now got our blob SAS controller there, and that's returning back that times box token, which we call a SAS. So from, is this correct? Yeah, that's correct. So from the client perspective, we can take that SAS and utilize it to upload directly against the Windows Azure Storage Service. And to do that, you can use a simple HTTP API. But today, we're able to use the new Windows Azure Storage Client 2.0, which has a CTP for WinRT-based devices. So we've got a WinMD that we're able to go and utilize there for that. So what we'll do is we'll take some pictures here within the Votables app. So let me minimize that. We don't need the designer. Grab a little XAML snippet here for an app bar, which I prepared earlier. So we're going to add an app bar to the split page here. And this app bar essentially just contains a button. This button allows us to take a photo, so we're going to go and write all the code for this. So we'll go down the bottom here, so name that something nicer. So to integrate with the camera or utilize the camera, you have to declare that capability. And we can do that within the package manifest. So if I come down here, for the camera, we actually need to utilize the webcam and microphone because the camera allows us to use both video and photos. So I've prepared a snippet as well. And I'll just drop in my camera capture API and we'll walk through this code. So we just new up an instance of the camera capture API. I'm setting the actual aspect ratio of that photo such that we can use it later on to send a push notification. So once we've done that, we can just await on the camera capture async, and that will return us back the image that the camera capture dialog will return. So we have to define this method as async. And that's good. Where is all this?
Did you have the reference?
Yeah, not yet. But I shouldn't have the code in there. Interesting. Okay, we'll deal with that when we get there. Okay, so that's that. So the next thing we need to do is to call into that service, which Chris just created. Now that service, I've got a snippet for that as well to call into that. It's called get SAS. So what do we call it? Build today.
Mm-hmm.
So we're using that same URI that he utilized within the web browser to call into. We check if we've got some media back. We use the HTTP client. Now, the HTTP client allows us to perform standard REST operations. And in this case, we're performing a GET against that SAS. And we're just formatting in the media name, which is the image name which is returned. Down here is just a little bit of probably dirty magic, given that it's Halloween. But we're just splitting out the shared access signature off the end to use later on. So the next thing we need to do is actually go off and upload that blob. And this is where the new storage client library comes into play. It really makes it quite easy to upload a blob using a SAS, and you don't have to go down to the HTTP level. So this one is upload blob. This resolution is crazy. Now you'll see that it doesn't resolve these references, so I'm going to go and add a reference to those library, the storage client library for Win8, and you can see here in my recent, I should have it there. There it is, the Windows Azure Storage. Now this is available on GitHub as the full project. There you can download it and build it. That's what I've done in this case. At some point it will be available on NuGet as well, but until then, if you search for WinRT blob storage, you should be fine. This is the issue we had earlier, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, you just have to remove the reference and add it to the again.
Yeah, we had a slight issue earlier on, and it was with the mobile services reference here. So I'll just add that.
Should be.
Again.
Yeah, it's fine. There you go.
Yeah. Which one? Okay. Let's try and hit build on this now. Looking better. So now we just need to resolve the namespace here for those few classes. So control dot. So the storage credential here actually takes a SAS token now. And that's something that we then go and pass into when we're uploading the blob. So I'll take that storage account credential with the SAS that we pulled back from our service. I'll drop in a cloud container blob. So I'm just getting a handle to where I want that image to be uploaded, which is the new file container that Chris defined in his service. And then the next thing that we do is we actually get a reference to that blob back on the client. And then from there, utilizing the SAS credential, we can go and upload that. So the SAS credential was provided in the Cloud Blob container, and then we just go and upload direct. And that should be enough to get us uploading to storage. So let's do that. Okay, wrong default project. I can tell we're going to do that a few times today, given that we're both jumping around. All right. So there's the vertibles up. Okay. So it seemed earlier that this took a few seconds to load, which was interesting. I think our network perhaps isn't that great. Irrespective of that, I know we need to click in.
There we go.
Ta-da. Okay. Well, that works. So I'm clicking into that split page. We're just going to take a photo here now. Now, this is where it goes and requests for us, you know, are we going to allow, hate this. Okay. How's the 5 o'clock shadow looking now? Okay, let's change the camera here, because I brought or prepared one earlier, so it's now on you guys.
That looks much better.
Yeah, the lights are so bright up here, aren't they? So let's take a photo. Let's give us high fives. Anyone? Beers are coming soon. Okay. Well, that was video, so my bad. Okay, let's... where am I going? Back to camera mode. Okay, missed the high fives. So we'll do that. You can see the crop piece which we put in. And now that's grabbing that image, and it's going to go and upload it for us. So if we return back here, I'm just going to grab that credential that Chris grabbed earlier. Actually, I can probably just grab it out of your web config here somewhere. And we're just going to browse to make sure that file made it up on this connection. So called build session.
Yep.
Okay, view. And built right into the Server Explorer now, we're able to go and browse directly to Windows Azure Storage and a bunch of other features. So if I go into blobs here, we can see my new container. And let's order by time, which is later. Is that it? No, that's not it. Let's see here. It's probably, well, let's try this one. It's based on server time. Get the properties of this, and we'll just go there and see if we've got a picture of our stunning audience. Ta-da. Okay. So our blob's going up, Chris. Did you want to take over here and perhaps look at phone, I think?
I'd love to. I'm going to go ahead and just switch the active application now. Just, you know, save myself the trouble later, I think.
We need to keep a beer tally here. Each time we both make a mistake, it's a beer for the other person. And we're not allowed to use the free beer tonight.
That is unfortunate.
I think you've made two mistakes so far.
Probably. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to do is actually change up the UI. I'm going to add another panorama item in here.
So this is Chris's wicked XAML skills.
It's going to be impressive, I swear.
Okay.
We
actually had a fun time the past week or two working on some of the keynote demos. And Chris was very nice and helped prototype some stuff. But how would you rate your UI design skills, Chris?
Wow. Asking me to rate them is too kind.
Yeah. let's say the code was good behind, but it required a bit of work. So
it didn't look pretty. We'll just say that.
It's looking good. So same scenario here, Chris. You're going to take a picture, upload it.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm also going to add in a little functionality really quickly so that later on I can choose from the gallery so that we don't have to keep asking everybody to give me a virtual high five every time I want to take a picture.
You're so prepared.
Try to be.
All right.
One more control and we can actually do some coding.
So the key thing you guys should look at here from this perspective is at the moment, Chris is going to do all of this request and hit that REST service for storage directly using a HTTP web request. Now, it's a little bit more complicated to do that using a raw HTTP web request, but if you're programming in other languages like PHP and such, or Ruby or whatever, because the storage API is consumable via REST, you're also able to go and program out against that in those languages. We also have some SDKs which make it a bit easier for those as well. The phone piece, we're still getting there.
So I'm going to add a few helper variables that I'm going to need throughout the session really quick. The important ones you're going to see right here, though, are we have a camera capture task and a photo chooser task. Those are actually the tasks we use to open up the gallery to pick a picture or to actually take a picture. Then we just got a reusable site URL and a few other things we'll use throughout the session. So in the constructor right here, we're going to initialize those tasks and then add a completed handler. We're going to use the same task or the same completed handler for both of those because either way, we're going to get a picture back and we're going to do the same thing with it. Sorry. Okay, so right here, we're just putting in the click handlers for those buttons. We're just we're showing the task whenever they're clicked. Next, we're actually going to do the handler for what comes back when we actually get to take the picture. All right, so there's a few helper methods I actually just dropped, and I'm not going to go through all of them right now because I will go through them a little bit more later. So for now, just bear with me and ignore that code. So the setPhotoDetails method, this is what's called whenever we take a picture or we choose one from the gallery. We're going to save the file name. We'll pull out a bitmap image. We set the source of that bitmap image to whatever the chosen photo was. We then set the image that's on screen to be equal to that captured image, and then we read the bytes. One important line is this one right here where we have to reset the seek position on that photo. That's happening because when you set the image on your UI to be when you set its source, it's basically reading that image. So if you were to then try and read the byte, it's already at the end of that byte stream. And then lastly, right here, we just have the actual completed handler that calls setPhotoDetails. So the last thing we need to set up is just the click handler for uploading the image. So this is basically what Nick was talking about, where instead of having access to or using the cloud storage library, instead I'm actually going to do some raw HTTP requests. I'm going to make use of some HTTP extensions, which wrap the functionality of doing requests from Windows Phone, and I'll show you what those look like in a minute, because they're really going to actually help you out. If you looked at .NET 4.5, you get the async and the await keywords, which we're going to use right here. Without those, if you're just doing normal HTTP requests from Windows Phone, you kind of have to handle it yourself. These extensions will basically make it so we can await them and make our code much, much more readable. So here we're going to get the response. Sorry, we're going to create our request for the same URL we used or Nick was using. We're going to get our response stream. We're going to read that response stream out. That's going to be the actual SAS URL. Provided the SAS URL comes back and is actually real, we're going to create another request where we upload. We do a put of the actual blob. Lastly, we read the response from that, and we say if, you know, if it was created, then it was a success, otherwise it failed. So I'm going to add a class really quickly to handle those extensions. So basically the stuff inside these methods is kind of the stuff you'd have to handle if you were going to do a normal request and response stream from Windows Phone. When it's like this, though, we get the ability to just say, get a request stream asynchronously and await until it comes back to us. So we've got the extensions here, but then our actual code where we actually do stuff with the network becomes much, much more cleaner. All right, let's try running the application. Nope. There we go. Okay, so we'll go into our event, we'll choose something. So I added just, there's a panorama that had all the votables and the details of the session. I just added another item that, which lets me do the photo. So I'll take a picture. Everybody smile.
Who is it that has the halo off to the left there?
There we go. Okay. All right, so we've got our picture, we'll accept that.
Oh,
sorry about that.
Apologies. It looked good up from up here. There we go.
All right, perfect. So we've got the picture there showing on the screen. Let's go ahead and upload that. All right, we've got a success back. And if we return to Visual Studio, we return over here and we go to Server Explorer.
Let's hit refresh on that.
We refresh it. We should be able to... that. And we've got the picture of the audience from the camera this time. You want to flip
right
back over to the slides?
Yep.
We'll get there.
I guess that's another beer, Chris. There you go.
Perfect.
Good.
You want to?
You go for it.
All right, perfect. Well, okay, there we go. Okay, so we just saw how you can use blob storage to store data and how you can do it securely. So the second bullet point in this one is the SaaS First Direct Connect. Again, remember, you can always connect directly from a mobile application into your storage account. However, anybody that gets access to your key and your account name has pretty much carte blanche to do whatever they want with your storage account. So using a SaaS from a web provider is a much better solution. Our web application here is written in .NET. It's a web API project. However, Windows Azure websites also supports Node.js and PHP, which also have cloud storage libraries. So they can generate SaaS as well if you wanted to deploy a web provider that would give you a SaaS in one of those languages. Also, when you use a storage account, you have the ability to use a CDN or a content distribution network. So if you're serving your files up all around the world, instead of always serving them up from the Western U.S. data center, you can enable the CDN, and then your files will get cached at Azure data centers around the world, as opposed to just always being served up from one place. There's optimization calls that can be done for the create if not exists. If you're uploading large files, so larger than our images here, you might need to break those down into smaller blocks, and that's something you need to consider. Lastly, if you are doing media files or, you know, video, stuff like that, media service is something you should look at as far as how to encode that and bring it back down to clients. So the next thing we're going to talk about is geolocation. So you all, pretty sure you all have mobile devices now. More than likely, you've used an application that makes use of geolocation. So, you know, Foursquare, that sort of thing. Where are you at? You know, what's nearby you? That sort of thing. So it's always about, you know, what is your latitude and longitude, which we're going to actually use right now and say whenever we take a picture, we also want to tag that and say, this is where it happened. We're going to do that because a little later on, we're going to show you an example of something called geofencing. And basically what that is saying, I want to take a certain area, say the campus of Microsoft, and I want to send a notification to everybody on it. So we're going to start by doing some geolocation storage, and then we're going to finish up later with showing you how to actually do geofencing with that storage. So I'm going to hand it off to Nick, who's actually going to work on the location side of the server piece.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Chris. So one of the cool things which happened last week or the week before was we announced .NET 4.5 support on Windows Azure websites. So with that, we have like a whole range of really cool improvements, but one of the really useful ones is support for spatial data types. So .NET 4.5 has a new namespace called system.data.spatial, and utilizing that, we can go out and start building solutions with that and EF code first to be able to go and store these locations within our DB with very little code. So what we'll do is we'll start here by defining our data model. So I want to persist an entity to the DB, and I'm going to call it point of interest. And this point of interest is going to have a few properties. It's going to have a primary key, a URL for the image that we're storing. We're going to use the DB geography data type, so this is part of EF5 and above. And we're going to also store the user ID that pushed up that point of interest. So you'll note that this isn't resolving, and if I control dot it, we don't get anything there. So that's going to come down with EF. So if we say install package, this is the NuGet package manager console. You could utilize NuGet directly through managed NuGet packages if you prefer a GUI, but for me it's a bit faster normally here. Do it like that. One thing to remember is to always target the appropriate project. So we want to drop this into our server API. So we just need to wait for that to come down. There that is. Let's close that away now. Resolve this guy. All right. So now we've got our DB geography data type there. The next thing that we need to do is to go and add our DB context. So our DB context is essentially what controls how we're going to go and persist this point of interest to the database.
So now, are you going to have to write all your own SQL and stuff like that to save the data?
No,
all your CRUD?
No, so with EF here, we're not going to have to do that. We're not going to have any sort of create table statements or anything like that. It's going to take care of it for
us. What
a
time saver.
Sounds like you knew that.
I heard a thing or two.
Okay. All right. So there's my location context. Now, it's utilizing the default connection string that can be found in our web config. So I'm going to drop that there like that. You can see DB set is essentially stating that we want a table created based off that point of interest entity that we defined earlier. So there's our point of interest. So now we've got something that we can access the DB and our entity. So the next thing that perhaps I'll do is to add our controller. So I'm going to add a new controller, and this time it's going to be an empty API controller, and we're going to call this location. And we want this controller to be able to go and write directly to the DB that location or point of interest captured off the device. So I just went over the top of that, didn't I? What did I do there? Sorry. Location controller. Okay, that's a post. All right. I thought I snippeted that different, but that's okay. Oh. Cracky. There we go. Okay. Now, one thing you'll notice here, so we can resolve this DB context, but we've got this point of interest DTO. Now, from the perspective of my DB geography data type in my model, this is great for going and dealing directly with the DB. But if we go to here, we can see that there's a whole bunch of extra information there that perhaps we don't want to send across the wire. So I'm going to create a data transfer object, something that can be serialized out from our location controller, and I'm going to call that point of interest DTO. Now, because I want this to be shared across my Win8 and WinPhone solution, I'm just going to add a new project here, and I'm going to call this particular one or it's going to be type portable class library. So we'll drop this in. We'll call this core. And that's OK. So we'll drop that in. And now I'll rename this guy to be our point of interest DTO. Yes, please. And there's our point of interest DTO. And you can see we've just flattened out that DB geography to a latitude and longitude, and all the other properties there remain the same. So one last thing which I forgot to do is to, after we installed the Entity Framework, there's actually an assembly that's not up, running, or installed in the GAC on Windows Azure websites, and there's a dependency on Entity Framework with that, and that is called the Microsoft.SQL Server.types greater than 10. So there we go. So we've got that guy now, and I think we'll have one build error left. So yes, there it is. Resolve this. So what happens here is the client application, I need to add a reference to core there, because I pushed that out. So in solution, go to core. So now our service API references core. It returns a DTO type from our actual controller. And also, sorry, it accepts it because our client is pushing that up. Now, so our client will send a DTO. We'll open a location DB context, which will allow us to insert that DTO into the DB and save the changes. Now, this little thing here is just an extension method which I wrote, which converts the point of interest DTO into an actual point of interest that goes and gets persisted to the DB. So let's drop that in. New class. Call this one extensions. So we're going to use an extension method here. And this is our extension method, which attaches to the point of interest DTO object as called as entity. And it basically returns just the type that we want to persist to the DB. Let me build this guy now. What are we going there? All right, how'd that get in there? Did I control dot that guy or something? Thank you. Minus one beer for Chris, you didn't pick that up. So let's have a look now. No space point of interest DTO could not be found. Ah, there we go, that's better. Okay, type DB geography doesn't exist, so just resolving all these references here. And the last one. I've got to say, a few years ago when I learnt the control dot, I was a very happy man. All right, so Chris, I think we're ready to publish.
I think we are.
So let's publish this guy up. And we'll just hit publish. So there you go. I think, are you building a WinPhone client to that?
I think I'm going to, yeah. So I don't really need to add much code to my WinPhone client at this point. All I really need to do is add another way to say, hey, I'm ready to upload the location. Let's go back to our WinPhone project. Oh, we have to wait for it to build, of course. Or to publish, I'm sorry. While waiting for that, we might as well go and add some more of my amazing UI. No, it won't let me while it's publishing, I think. So we'll wait just a second.
Any questions while we wait on this? No?
They're speechless.
I was just going to point out, knowing the geography code,
yeah.
Back to that, okay. The SRID, the 4326.
Ah, right. We're not actually. Oh, there it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Right.
You need that if you're sending a point location to a SQL server, so it knows.
Yeah.
What projection is.
Yeah, so it basically tells SQL how to store that. And there's a number of different options there. And this one is quite a common one. So what's happening there?
I'm going to blame the network, you know? Oh, yeah, timed out. Yeah. Let's try that one more time.
Oh, yeah, drop that guy in, Sandy.
Okay, there it goes. So, a little bit faster this time, thankfully. Let's go back in here. Go back to our event view. We'll add one more button in here just to handle the uploading the location.
So this, I guess, ties back to the geolocation or the geolocated class, which you utilized earlier?
Absolutely. Okay, so I also have to add a reference to that core project, which I can do because it was a portable class library. If you were to create a class library instead, you wouldn't actually be able to add a reference in it and say it wouldn't work. So you have to do a portable class library if you're going to share it between Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8. So now that I've added that, I can add my reference. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to do an await on that get location method I told you I'd show you earlier. So let's go have a quick look at that. So here we're using the geolocator class, which is the same as what you had, I think, in Windows Phone 7. We use that, we say what sort of the accuracy we want, and then we call get geoposition async. That takes two parameters in, the maximum age. So basically we're saying if you haven't gotten the position within 2 seconds, go fetch it again for me, and then a timeout for actually fetching that position. When that's done, we just save the latitude and longitude for use later. So back here, we're going to check to make sure we actually have values because we don't want to try and send something to the server if we don't have real values. We're going to create an instance of that point of interest DTO. Obviously, we've got the latitude and longitude and the URL we're sending of the image we uploaded. We're cutting off all the query string parameters because all we actually need is the URL without any of the shared access signature part to specify where that image is at. One other thing we're doing right here is we're actually tacking on the user ID from mobile services. So earlier when we authenticated through Twitter for mobile services, we got an instance of a user there. So we're going to grab that user ID out so we can reference back the channel URI that was already being saved when the app was created. So again, we're going to create an HTTP request. We're going to use the data contract JSON serializer to serialize our data because we're expected to send JSON over the wire. We're going to use our HTTP extensions again to get a request stream. We're going to write out our location, or our point of interest DTO. Then we get our response stream. We check the status code. Our web API isn't actually returning anything when we save a location. So as long as the response code was no content, we know it was saved. If we get anything else back, we know that something bad happened. So we should be able to go ahead and run now. Do you want to switch over to the phone?
Yes. There we go.
Thank you. All right, so we're back in our application. Let's go in. We'll go over here. Actually, we're not going to take a picture because I don't want to make you guys work too hard. Go back and choose the picture from earlier. We're going to upload the image again. Now we'll upload our location. Oh, one thing I forgot to do, and it's very important, and I find this is actually one of the last things that people will actually remember to do, is ensure that their application actually requests or requires the capabilities they need. So you have to go in your application's manifest and say you want access to the location. So now that that's there, let's try that again. So one of the things we'd probably actually want to do here is actually add some sort of indicator to the user that something's happening. For simplicity's sake, we didn't do that, but that's definitely something you'd want to do. All right, so our point of interest has been saved. Now, I'm going to wait to actually show you that we've actually saved something in the database until a few minutes, because since we are short on time, I'm going to let Nick go ahead and jump over and start working on the Windows 8 side of things.
Okay, cool. So what we'll do now is we'll just have a look at how we do that from Windows 8. So if I go to my Win8 solution here, I'll return back to my split page. Let me scroll down. So this is where we left off. We uploaded the blob. So now we're able to get the user's actual location. So to do that on Windows 8, it's quite similar. So we can use here, let me stop this guy. We can use the geolocator class here as well. Resolve that. Oh, it's incredibly hard to type standing up, I must say. I never get used to it. So we'll get an instance of that, and then from our client code down here, let's say get location. So to get location here, it's simply just one line of code. We call geolocator get geoposition, and that will return back our location. Scroll on this is painfully slow. Let me use page down. Okay, so that will return us a position, and then from that we can do similar to what Chris did there and new up an instance of our DTO. So again, here I'm going to add a reference similar to in Windows Phone to the call library. Drop that in there. So now that resolves. So now we've got an instance of our DTO that has a latitude and longitude. And we keep a reference to the URL where that image is stored. So the next thing we'll do is upload a point of interest. Now for this, we're using Web API again, same service that Chris consumed. Let me just drop this here. And what we need to do is we need to take that instance of our DTO, utilize the data contract JSON serializer to serialize that up. So we just basically we take that DTO and serialize it to a memory stream. We reset the stream such that we can post it into a stream content object that's utilized by the HTTP client that we defined earlier on.
You need to change build trial. Yes, to build today.
Ah, good catch. Code reviewers.
I think Nick
man.
Owes you a beer for that one.
Yeah. It's been a busy week. I've done like a 100-hour week already. But thank you. I do appreciate that. Pardon? The wrong startup project. Oh, epic. I think they're going for these beers.
I think so.
Okay. Should have done this earlier. Okay. So we've now got that memory stream, and we just perform a post against that location controller, which we had earlier. So I'll run this as well. I'll sit this here. And again, the similar sort of scenario on Windows 8, and you'll typically forget it. I do all the time as well. Chris actually reminded me when he set that. Is to define that we need the location capability in our application here as well. So we save that, hit F5. All right. There are millions of Nick Harrises in the world, so I had to come up with something inventive there for Twitter. So we'll go to presentations. What's your real Twitter handle, Chris? I noticed that you're using a fake one there.
Yeah, my real one's actually Chris Reisner. So, easy enough.
Okay. So we'll go to the other camera here. And today, because the audience is worn out, how about you strike a pose, Chris? Hold on. You got to hold it. Hold it. Go. Awesome. Okay. So we'll upload that now. You can see that it's now prompting the user, can the application use our location?
You can buy prints of that picture later for me if you'd like.
Yes. Chris Reisner on Twitter. All right, so that's now uploaded. Okay, what did you want to do now, Chris?
Now, since we're really short on time and the last piece of the demo is actually really cool, I'm going to bypass actually showing you that we saved it as the database, and hopefully you'll actually believe me that it actually was saved in the database. And in a moment, you'll probably more so believe me when we show you the last piece of the demo. So as far as geolocation goes, there's a few considerations you want to have. As far as serialization format, when you're going between a client and the server, you always want to think about how much data is going across the wire. The less, the better. we showed you here using JSON. JSON's typically a much smaller format than something like XML or even perhaps some other formats, so just be cognizant of that. Spatial support, as Nick showed you, it's really great with EF5 and now with .NET 4.5. As far as geolocation usage on the device, something to think about is that that does take a battery hit, you know, every time the device is told to pull the location. So in there, when I said, you know, give me the latest thing if it's older than 2 seconds, in reality, I might not want to do that because chances are every time I check the location, it's probably going to check it again, which is going to hit the battery. So you want to be cognizant of how that's going to affect the user's experience on their device. And then lastly, some devices, not necessarily Windows Phone 8, but other ones, they have different modes of getting the user's location. So GPS, Wi-Fi, tower connectivity. So you want to think about the fact that the location you get may not actually be very accurate. So the last thing we're going to look at today is a different way of handling push. I presume that Josh got to the point where he showed you push for mobile services, which is super easy and super awesome. We're going to show you a different method that kind of makes use of a background worker, or a back-end, batch processing sort of system. So we're going to basically put a message into a queue, and then we're going to show a worker role that will pull that message out. Basically, the message is going to be a polygon or a square, you know, an area on a map. We're going to say, I want to send a message to everybody in this location. We're going to use that. We're going to go check the locations that we store to the database and figure out which ones are actually inside of that location, and then send them a message. Switch the computer?
Yep. You just have to stop the... There we go.
Thank you. All right. So the first thing I'm going to do is add the view we're going to use for picking out our location. And we're going to make use of Bing Maps. And it's really cool, but I'm probably not going to have time to actually show you the HTML and JavaScript. But if you want to have a look sometime, it's pretty awesome how it works. If it shows up. Pardon me, my snippet skills are not quite as good as Nick's.
I noticed that when you had you typed the whole word build, prefixing all of your snippets. I used B, but I'm a bit lazy at times, I guess.
Well, that's okay. We'll allow that.
Let's have a look.
All right, so like I said, I'm not going to go through it really quickly. Essentially, though, we're using Big Mac's JavaScript and jQuery. We're going to show a map on the screen. When the user clicks, they're basically allowed to select 4 points on the map to create a polygon, and then they can send a message up to a queue handler I'm going to add right now. So here, some of this code should look pretty familiar from when we did the SAS. That's because we're creating another, you know, we're accessing our storage account again. Here we're accessing the queues instead of blob storage, though. So let's go ahead and run that really quickly. Oh, that won't work. Oh, I did forget one thing. All right, now we'll run that. All right, so we get a map. It's of campus. We're going to zoom out a little bit. We're going to select all of campus. All right, so we're going to send that push. That's basically would be queue controller. One second, sorry folks.
So the scenario we're going for here is basically we've got a website. They want to basically send a broadcast to anyone that's registered within that particular location. So what Chris has done is he's created that map. allows you to select that region or the fence. And then within his code behind here, he takes that polygon, which defines the area where he wants to look for pictures of interest or people of interest to send notifications to. So we take that polygon, we drop it into a Windows Azure storage queue, and then once we get this in there, we'll then be able to pick it up off a worker role and then send a push notification to our clients.
All right, so that went. It sent essentially the polygon, the four coordinates, technically the five coordinates, because you actually have to specify a full complete ring, so basically the first and last coordinate are the same. That put that into a queue, which Nick's now going to access after we won't bother pushing it up because it's already in blob storage, so his worker role can access it right now.
All right. So where did we put the backup? I'll just drop it straight in. Do you remember?
So go into final test.
Okay.
No, last folder.
There we go. Okay. So this is a worker role. So a worker role, basically, for anyone who's done any type of sort of Windows development, it's similar to a Windows service. It's got a well-defined on start, on run, and on stop. And we can run these up in Windows Azure. Now, to add a worker role, it's basically right-click, add new project, hit cloud, and it'll give you a worker role. So this one's already been defined here. I was going to build this from scratch, so I just need to. I'm wondering whether I'm forgetting anything by just dropping this one straight in. I think it should work.
Did you change the URL? No, it's the same thing.
Yeah, same URL. So what this worker role does, if we jump in here, is it's going to go and read that queue that Chris wrote the message to. We're going to carry on down here further, and we're going to go and basically extract that polygon from the message that he passed through. We're going to go and query our DB to find a point of interest that intersects that polygon, so it's contained within that region that he defined on the map. And then we're going to go off and we're going to send a push notification. Now, we've actually sent a push notification here to both a Windows 8 client and also a Windows Phone client. So before I do that, we're actually sending a wide tile logo, so I have to do one important step here on our Win8 application. We have to define a wide tile. So this default wide tile, which I put together earlier with my epic art skills.
About as good as my design skills.
I guess. So that basically defines a wide tile, and that wide tile then lets us push a wide tile notification to that device. The next thing we need to do so the credentials wire up properly for the push notification scenario is to associate that app with the store. So I'll just do that now. Very complex password. Going to use build Azure demo. So there's a store workflow which you can follow, which basically gives you credentials for your service tier and also the client tier. The client tier pulls in by doing the association, and the service tier already has them. Sorry, the worker role already has them within it, which is up the top here. So I think with that, Chris, is that ready to go?
Yep, you think I believe of so. Let's give it a shot.
Let's set a breakpoint here, just so we know that it's hitting it. Okay.
Yeah, change the startup project.
Yep. And we'll set one here just so we can do that. So let's right-click, set as startup project. So our worker role here associates to that push worker. Hit F5.
Run as an administrator. So this makes use of the Windows Azure emulator, which will run locally as opposed to having to push the worker role up to Windows Azure. In order to run the Windows Azure emulator, though, you do need to be running Visual Studio as an administrator.
Did we call this? Is that the correct location?
Yes, I think so.
Let me double check here.
Yeah, pretty sure.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah. So, okay. All right, so let's try that again. We'll start our new instance there. So this is going to spin up our Windows Azure storage emulator and compute emulator. We're actually only using the compute emulator in this case. You can see that we've now hit this, so we've got a handle to that queue. hopefully there's a message in the queue. Yep. So there's our polygon. So that's the coordinates that Chris selected on the map. So we're going to query that now and find an intersecting point. If we're lucky, we're actually going from device up to SQL in this case. Hit F5, and now hit F5 again. So,
oh,
where did my map go? Okay.
So we can see there's a notification right at the top there. That's the Windows Phone 8 notification Nick sent over. It was just a toast. Well, it's gone now, but it was there.
What's that mobile? Can't
still
remember.
Still with that buddy.
What's that? It's still with that buddy there on that one. Okay. I can't seem to find my app. Ah, I didn't run it. That would be the problem.
That would be.
So when I uninstalled the application to get the new pin, I didn't run this again, so it hasn't gone and pinned it up to the desktop. Start new instance there. So with any luck, when we run this again, it will we'll see Chris's striking pose on our screen.
I'm not sure if I really want it to work.
Your wish may be granted. We will see. Okay, so that should have got us there. There's that beautiful smiley face again. So we'll need to just enqueue another message on our map here. Where was it, Chris?
It's close. You'll have to do it again.
Okay.
Actually, you have to run it locally because we didn't move it out.
Okay. Any second here. Debug. Start new instance. Home map. Whoa.
That'll okay. Work. You can do all of Oops. Washington if you want.
Did you put error handling if I didn't have a map there properly? Okay. That's probably an epic bad region. We may not actually be within that.
You have to refresh.
Okay, let's refresh this.
We were only going for 4 points here.
Yeah, my I'm trigger happy. My mouse clicking skills are going downhill here. Okay, let's try that again. So we'll have a bad and then a good one here. So I'm just going to debug, disable or stop debugging that for starters, disable all breakpoints, and we'll just run that worker and cross our fingers and cut back across to the start screen. Okay, so with any luck, we may see this pop if we did everything right. You can do it. Well, the phone's going off again.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. All right. Maybe it's...
Well, it's not the picture of me, but it is something. Oh,
hey.
There it goes.
And with that, I think we might have to close up, Chris, because we're running a few minutes over.
Yeah, let's finish this real quick. Okay. Just a few thoughts on push. There's a few things you need to make sure you handle. When you try to do a push, you could get back a bad message, so be cognizant of that and make sure you can handle it. Several other things. There's different kinds of notifications. We did a toast on the phone, and we did a tile on Windows 8. So today we showed you how to use storage, geolocation, and another way to do push using batch processing. So now you guys should have a pretty good understanding of how to use mobile services and then how to extend that and use some other pieces of Windows Azure when you want to. Just a few resources for you. I've got Nick and my Twitter handles up there if you guys want to get a hold of us, follow us, any of that fun stuff. There's a few related to that sessions on Thursday and Friday that you may be interested in. And then lastly, in November, I think it's the 15th, we're having an online Azure conference where you can learn all sorts of fun, cool stuff about Windows Azure. It's free to sign up. All you have to do is go to azureconf.com. If anybody has any questions, I know it's very, very past time, so please come up and see us.
Thank you.